Okay, Pesiyat the Shmaya today will probably be a shorter shir because it's one simon and one sif. We'll do dam besulim. I figure just if things meet, we'd have a shorter shir today. We'll do dam besulim and start mitzvah shem. You'll lead this on Thursday. The sugya of dam besulim in Shas revolves around a fundamental problem that the Beis Yosef spends a lot of time dealing with, and that on the one hand we have a Mishnah where we have machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that when a virgin, someone who still has besulim, has bia, so for how long could we assume that the dam that's coming out of her is from the makah of the besulim? What are besulim? Besulim is a skin, a hymen, that is over the vagina, and that when bia, the first time that bia takes place, so then that is penetrated and it causes dam besulim. Now clearly, besulim is not dam nida. We know that dam nida comes from the uterus. And so therefore, the pashtus of the Mishnah in the beginning of Perek HaTinokas tells us that we have machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How far could we assume that blood that's coming out of a virgin that just had tashmish is dam besulim? So we have Beis Shammai, it says it has four nights, and Beis Hillel says Ashatichya Hamaka. So the Mishnah is very, very clear. However, the Gemara itself already quotes the Shita of Rav and Shmuel, who says, Bo bilas mitzvah porish, that the halacha is that they have to have tashmish and be porish. So this causes the Beis Yosef to have 250 lines worth of trying to reconcile within the Rishonim how to deal with it, and the different possibilities within the Rishonim of how to answer the question. Bottom line is we essentially embrace the chumrah of Rav and Shmuel. The Beis Yosef points out maybe it's just a minig, according to the Rambam and the Rif, and while the Shita, the Rush, maybe there are other Shitas in the Brisos that contradict the Psak in the Mishnah. Either way, the Psak in Shulchan Aruch is quite clear. The Mechaber writes, Hakones besula bol bilas mitzvah legomer biyaso uporish miyad. Afilu hiktanish lo yiyaz man aliros. Now the afilu over here is that the Mishnah tells us that it's even more of a chiddush to tell us that you need to be porish when she's a ktana, because what's the concern entirely when it comes to the dam besulim? The concern is that for some reason this is dam nida. We'll spell out a little bit more what that some reason is, but for some reason it's dam nida. But nevertheless, the psak, even though the Rambam and Rif might differentiate between ketana shlo igia liros and others, but nevertheless the psak in Shulchan Aruch is carte blanche that everybody is going to have this din that we're going to be machmir for dam besulim. What's this? Before we discuss what initiated this concern of dam nida, in other words, why is it that Rav and Shmuel said bol bilas mitzvah parish that leads to the halacha? We need to ask a conceptual question of what exactly is the scope of the iser. So, if you will, you could clara chakira. What exactly is the concern over here? Do we say that Chazal turned dam besulim into dam nida? In other words, that because there's a concern of dam nida, they told you to treat it as if it's dam nida, or that they put an extra fence around the couple and said, well, you had besulim, but at the end of the day, maybe because there's a chash rachok, then you're going to have to be machmer dinei derabbanan. So it seemed to me the scope of this chakira is going to be talui in the Beis Yosef towards the end, where he quotes v'kasav harajba. But if you take a look, yes.
The chakira is whether or not we treat dam besulim like dam nida, or whether or not we're choshesh that there is some dam nida in the dam.
And the nafkamina will really flesh it out. The nafkamina is the next lines in the Shulchan, the line that we just read in the Shulchan Aruch. The goimer biyaso, you could complete the bia. So you could complete the bia. Says the Shach, afal pisha adam shoseis v'yored, v'huadin demutar lo lifrosh be'ever chai, v'ein tzarech lahamtin ad shiyom musa'ever. So the Shach spells out that the Shulchan Aruch is passing like the Rajba, that here we have an anomaly. And that is, we know that if Chas v'Chalila, a couple's having Tashrish, and she says that I think that I was Poris Nida, so then they're not allowed to continue. What does he have to do? He has to wait for Misas Eiver, and after Misas Eiver, so then he's only then is he allowed to come out. However, when it comes to the din of Dam Besulim, it's different. Now, this happens to be, as the Beis Yosef points out, a machlokus between the Rajba and the Ravid. The Ravid says no. The Ravid says they need to wait for Eiver Meis as well. So Lechura, what the Ravid and the Rajba are arguing about is the following. Is the pshat that Chazal said, even if Chazal believed it, it's not a question, as Sam was trying to clarify, it's not a question of percentage points. It could be that the chash is that 5% of the time Dam Besulim is really Dam Nida, or 0.01%, doesn't make a difference for us right now. But at the end of the day, it's 5% or 15% or 1%, whatever it might be. But and that's not what the Rajman Ravid are arguing about. What they're arguing about is once Chazal made the Gezerah, what was the Gezerah like? Did they treat this Dam as Dam Nida? Or do we say, no, we don't treat it as Dam Nida, but rather what we're going to do is say that you have to be machmir in certain circumscribed areas. In other words, since it's a chash rachok, it's that it's Dam Nida, they did not say that you have to be poresh be'ever meis. They're allowed to be gomer biyasa, and that's how we paskin. But at the same time, the position of the Ravid is you have to be Porish Be'ever Meis because he treats the Dam Besulim as Dam Nida. While the Rajba and how we pass him, Ruba de Ruba Rishonim, hold no, they hold that it's not considered, we don't consider it Mamish Dam Nida, but rather what the din is that we're going to be Machmir just for certain things. And that certain things is that after you finish Bia, because of that concern, the concern that people maybe will mix it up with Dam Nida, whatever, however, as we're going to see in a moment, in such a case, they're going to be usher afterwards. So the Ravid seems to say that Midrabanan, we turn the Bia Rishona almost into a Bia of, to be Choshesh, that's Bia Snida, while the Rajba doesn't say it. Is that now the Chakira clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Within Shitas Ravid, mm-hmm. Are we concerned with where we jump? Meaning, the fact that we can be gomer biyaso, is that a chiddush, or is that like
where? No, you have to be gomer biyaso because if he's going to be parish miyad, then that's a problem with the nida as well. You'll have to be gomer biyaso. The chiddush is more that you could even finish be ever chai, right? In both cases, there's some level of gomer biyaso, but it could be that term Gomer Biyasa would not be the appropriate term for someone who's Mishamish Benida, the way he's supposed to act. But, okay, yeah.
Isn't it also possible it's a threshold thing? Fundamentally, the rabbi just is Choshesh in an earlier time.
It doesn't sound like that to me.
It's a strange thing to say. I mean, the rabbi is Mesaver in a sense. Like, once you start Choshesh, that she's a Nida, so why is it only the second afterwards?
Right. In other words, yeah, but I don't know. I think it's mistaber that what the Ravid is saying is that we treat it this way. In other words, the question is: do you go so far as to treat the bia itself that way? That the moment in which you're treating the bia itself that way means that you're turning her into a nida. Maybe that's you're forcing me to deepen it. Just a second. There's something to finish. I'll hear you hafich in a second. So that according to the Ravid, your mom is treating her b'shas maisa as a nida. While according to the Rajba, you're not treating her as a nida. So if you're treating her as a nida, that means that Chazal were saying that this blood, now the gzera is that you turn into nida. While the Rajba, maybe that even sharpens the way we're saying, but Natan, you were arguing, you could say.
I'm asking like that, but then in a way, it's actually, you could say, the opposite from initial Nisuach, which is, according to the Ravid, you're really choshish that there was Damida. So you have to treat her like Nida, but according to the Rajah, maybe we're not choshish for Damida whatsoever. It's just it's a din Kadash that she had her
Damida. I'm totally fine. I don't think it's even a change of the Nisuach. Then that could fit in with my original Nisuach as well. Okay, good. Excellent. By the way, we're going to come back. We're going to see about whether the dam itself is metame. So that might be relevant. But dam nida is also not metame. I'm going to have to give you more background. But before we get to that, let us discuss a very, very basic question that you have towards the top of the Mar Mikomos, and that is, what exactly is the chshash of Nida over here? What precisely is this chshash? So the way it came out in my booklet from last time is there is a rush in Ksubis on Perik Al Simen Tes that it just happens to be quoted in Rav Vosner's, I had it in Rav Vosner, so you could just look at it over there. In Os Aleph, Rav Vosner brings it down. Here he brings it down from the rush in Nida, and there's also a rush in Ksubis. And then there's a question, how do you reconcile the rush in Ksubis with the rush in Nida? So he quotes the first Deya as the one, being the one that he rejects. And he says, Shema yotza dam min ha-bekar im dam besulam. The first chshash is that the Rush himself quotes, whether he holds it in Nida is a separate question, but the Rush mentions in both Nida and Ksubis, he mentions that the concern is that what is going to happen is that during Tashmish, Dam Maka is going to mix with Dam Nida. In other words, we're afraid that what happened was she got her period and she didn't notice. Just like in a case of where a woman does a bedika and she doesn't notice that she had a hargasha. So over here, she's similar to that idea. So too over here, you have that chshash. From the Chuvas HaRashba, there seem to be two other emphasis. It could very well be that the third reason we're going to see is very much connected to the second and first, but the Rashba sort of separates between the two. And this Rashba is quoted in the Beis Yosef, towards the beginning of the Beis Yosef, in the second Dibra Maskel, Ubasar Hachi, towards the end, before Dibra Maskel, Lechem Pasak. So the Beis Yosef says, V'kasav b'tshuva, that he's quoting the Rashba, Af agav de'en lecha maka gadol mizu, lo talina ba kidetalinan ba'alma b'maka, even though everybody knows Dam Basulim is a Dam Maka. Mishum Deshani Ocha Deikol Meichel Shu Shmuel Da'amer Yecholni Livval Kama Basulos Below Dam. The Gemara is discussing whether a man is allowed in Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis discusses whether a man on Daf Dalid, whether a man is allowed to have Tashmish with a Basula on Shabbos. And the question over there is the sugya of making a Chabura. Chabura is an Isur Doraisa on Shabbos. So Shmuel there mentions that he and others at the time were able to, they had the dexterity that they were able to have tashmish without being motzi dam. So not every case, a bia automatically is going to produce a chabura. Well, so that gets into sugya psikresha, etc. That's where it comes up over there. So what is the Rashba emphasize? Rashba says as follows. The Rashba says that it's not the pshat that we're afraid that the Dam Sulim is going to mix with Dam Nida, but we're actually going to have straight up Dam Nida. But what's going to happen is that we know that in practice, you could have Bia Rishona without puncturing the Basulim at all. And therefore, we have a chshash of straight up Dam Nida. Then the Rashba says, remember, the Rashba was bothered, isn't this a Maka? Why are we all of a sudden making Machmer on a Maka? Va'od, says the Rashba, the Basul Yeshlach Mefisha Eina Ela Lesha, Upamacha. Says the Rashba, you know what? It's not so hard to be Machmer for Dam Basulim. In other words, if we're going to be Machmer in every Maka, so every day, every hour, there are Shailas of Maka. So if we're going to be Machmer on Maka, and we're going to say, well, we can't differentiate between Maka and Nida, so then in such a case, then the whole world's going to fall apart. Many women are going to be Usher all the time, even though it's not their period. But if you want to find a place to be machmir for Dam Basulim, for machmir for Maka, because you're afraid that Maka is going to get mixed up with Nida, the best place to be machmir is Bia Rishona. I actually, in Chasson Shmuz, take this in an entirely different direction. I say that the irony of ironies is that Chazal wanted a husband to learn to be sensitive right off the bat, that for some reason Chazal wanted the husband and wife to separate immediately so that the husband could be able to do it, learn how to do it with sensitivity. That immediately, right off the bat, that the husband should learn the sensitivity to his wife in being Porish. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it that way, I'm not exactly sure, because it's quite challenging. But at the end of the day, the Rashba gives us the halachic reason. That really, maybe this is one way of saying the Rashba, that really we wanted to make sure that people shouldn't confuse Maka with Nida. And what was the best place? If we're going to ask her Makas, then the pru or vu would fall away. So the best place to do it, to say, you know, be very, very careful. You should know that what you think is so obvious is a makkah, you, at times you have to be careful. Maybe it's nida. So then they decided to do it with dam besulim. So that's the third explanation. Now this third explanation could fit in to the first explanation, that maybe there's a mixture of dam besulim and dam nida, or possibly even the second explanation, that you think that it's dam besulim and it's really dam nida. Finally, the Sefer HaEshkol, it gives a different reason. Sefer HaEshkol and Simen Mem Zayin, and Rav Moshe Feinstein makes reference to it in his tshuvas, even though he doesn't quote the Sefer HaEshkol, if I recall correctly. We'll see Rav Moshe's tshuva. And that is that it's chimot. In other words, we've learned in the past the halachos of being porish al chimut, but over here we have, even if they were porish for chimut before, but it could be tashmish itself is going to bring about the chimut. So you have four different explanations of why we have to be choshesh. The first explanation and the fourth are similar The second and the fourth are similar in the sense that the fourth believes that this might not be dam makkah at all. It might be dam chimud. And the second said that it could very well be it's entirely nida, not because of dam chimud, but because it could be that the way he was boel, that there was no dam besulim altogether. Yes?
A little bit shash rach to say that somebody would act like the mashmosh with more, there's like something special that Shmuel knew how to do. So like the fact that somebody might do that accidentally.
Excellent. Taisus and the Shita Mikubetzes both deal with your kasha and ksubas.
It's more of a serif of the fact that just not every via automatically is there non-sula.
That's how some Rishonim already learned. That Shmuel is a simin of how Ayin Sham. There's a lot in the Shita Mikubetzes and ksubas about what you just asked. Okay. Now, these reasons actually line up very nicely with a big war that exists to this day about the question of what happens if a doctor removes a woman's besulim beforehand. So Ramesha, in a seminal tshuva, Chelek Aleph, Simen Pei Vav, Ramesha Pei Zayin, Ramesha writes, let's do the tshuva inside, it's a short tshuva, and it's... Rav Moshe in his glory. So Rav Moshe says, "Nishalti me'efa kashelo hayelo efshar lo livo bir rishonim mitzad shapesach hayasasim biyosef utzrach lerofe shiftach et hapesach beinstrument." So what happened was is that the besulim weren't being penetrated. Now's the time for me to spell out, if I haven't already in the past, in my limited amateur experience, most Biur Rishonas are not consummated. We're going to get into shortly, we'll read inside what that Hara is when there isn't full Biur Gemura. So in my experience, most times that couple tries the first time because the Besulim are strong. So then in such a case, most couples that come to speak to me after Biur Rishona, usually they say that they haven't, what they describe is not a full penetration. So in the case that Rav Moshe was dealing with was that they had attempted a few times and there wasn't penetration. And so they went to the doctor. And now the shaila is, oh, the doctor now removed dam besulim, so now she should be tamei alts dam besulim. So notice this chakira, Rabosai. What we have a chakira over here. Is dam besulim, the gzera of dam besulim, a function of bia itself, or is it a function of, the blood? In other words, if you take the Gemara literally, there might be room to be machmir, and that is that you're. Let's take the Rashba and the Tshuva's second reason that we're. Let's take even the Rush's first reason that we're concerned that dam besulim is going to be mixed with dam nida. So when the doctor removes it, how do you know that what the doctor removed is dam besulim? Maybe it's also dam nida. So that's the fundamental question. So Ramesha responds, "Veishafti shemuteres l'bayil v'ein tzricha shemunikim tefila ki arei dam besulim hu be'etzem dam maka." He says it's not going to happen without bia. Va'ayim b'rosh and beis yosef b'shem rash mash tirtzu etzem hagzer v'tameim lesnu b'yotzu al yedei hakos etzu gedomen. So Ramosha says he's not concerned about dam nida being mixed up if there isn't bia. So Ramosha says this becomes the doctor removing the besulim becomes the concern of a regular maka. And if on a regular maka you're going to be makel, and it's only by bia rishona you have to be machmir, so here also you'd be able to be Makel as well. Ach afim loy malocha shiistiku nam yesh hatter chada tamze shal rashba in alocha im sidre tahara, but oh the bor the gam rashba yodesh talin and the locus sidre tahara das rashba rakul tam nosef al masha choshu bebil adam chimud shuk shash rachok mishum lufisha avide eight of gdomish like a chimud ain locha shafli dide. So Ramesha does something interesting. Ramesha throws in the chash of dam chimud. He says that we also have the chash of dam chimud. He puts it even in the Rajba, which is not there. But Ramosha says that you don't have to be concerned. I say that this is a war because the Minchas Yitzchak in two places, in Chelek Dalid, as well as in Chelek Tes, and I photocopied for you Chelek Tes, Simin Sadi, Paskin not that way. He assumes. In Chelek Dalet, he elaborates more. It's not in your booklet. In Chelek Dalet, he says you have to be concerned. And maybe there was Dam Nida that came out as well. In Chelek Tes, he also says that it's inappropriate to and this is photocopied in front of you, it's inappropriate to remove the Dam Besulim because Dam Besulim is important for bringing a raya that she is a Besula. That's what the Minchas Yitzchak writes. And therefore, he says it's inappropriate. And then he says, and once you've done it, then what you're going to do is you're going to create a double problem. He says she's going to be a nida when you remove the besulim, and then she's also going to be a nida after bia rishona, when there is no, with the besulim removed, he claims that then you would have to be. Why? Because the bia rishona, what are we going to learn shortly? That bia rishona without dam, you also have to be choshesh. So the Minchas Yitzchak says you're creating many times that the couple is going to have to separate. From Meiri V'Rabbi Rav Neman Sal Shlita, I heard not this way, and he held that she does not become asura to her husband, and he agreed with what Rav Sabalovsky, in Rav Sabalovsky's Sefer, what Rav Shechter says, and that Rav Shechter, not only did he say that she's not a Nida, but Rav Shechter on page 306, towards the bottom, a Kala may go to the doctor before or after the wedding and have the Besulim removed so that she does not become Tmeya after Bia Rishona. So Rav Shechter holds that, like, based on the Pesach of Ramesha. Now, there are Talmidim of Rav Moshe that might say to Rav Neven Sal and Rav Shechter that at the end of the day, they're going much further than Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe's tshuva was not whether you could do this lichatchila and whether she's not Tmeya. Rav Moshe's case was when she needed it removed in theory. But Rav Shechter is saying that you could have it, you could have the Besulim removed. And so it sounds like for Rav Shechter that if for whatever reason the Kala decides to do it, then in such a case, it would be mutter. I don't teach the Chassanim and Kalas that it's mutter to do it straight up. I think, even though Rav Neman Sal also said that he did not think that I asked on my own, the Minchas Yitzchak's concern about what happened to Tainas Besulim. He thought that once the husband is aware of it, then there's no need, there's no concern of Tainas Besulim anymore. I don't think Rav Neven Sal necessarily advocated it, that it should be done. But for example, I had the following shayla. A chassan teacher came to me that the chassan is in the army and he's going to be getting off only a few amount of days before he has to go back. Now, first of all, the Torah says they're not supposed to be in the army for a year, right? So, but he's going to be in the army. He's going to have to go back to the army after a few days. And so if they're going to have be boa with Dam Basulim, then by the time, then they're going to be usher to each other. And then he's going to have to go back to army. It's going to be a long time of separation. And the couple are not so religious. So I think they're Shomer Shabbos and so on, but I think, you know, Hilchos Nida is hard for everybody. So Kal v'chomer, for someone who's not learning in Kollel, it's even harder. So I thought in such a case then that they could, we have our great Rabbeim that said that you could do it. Ramesha says that she's not going to be Tameya. And so in such a case, then that you could have your cake and eat it, in the sense that she's now not going to be Usher after Bia Rishona. And then they'll be able to have, let's say he has to go six days, right after Sheva Brachos, they'll be able to have Tashmish again before he goes off to the army. Kadosh Baruch Hu should protect him while he protects us. Yeah. Okay. So that's in regards to the different tamim. So some of these tamim, l'chura, you could still have even if it's removed, but Ramesha is not concerned about that. It's mefurish in the Tshuvas Panim Me'iros and Chelek Gimel Simen Chaf Aleph, also that he's like the Machmirim. There's a long list of Machmirim over here. It doesn't just start with the Minchas Yitzchak. The Maharsham is Machmir. Panim Me'iros is Machmir as well. The Panim Me'iros is the grandfather of the Pisrei Tshuva. This Tshuva is also made reference to in the Panim Me'iros. Is made reference to later on by the Pisrei Tshuva. It's in your booklet, and I want to bring out two things from the Tshuva. Number one is that on the second page of the Tshuva, on the page it says Panim Me'iros. About 10 lines up, I wrote in my handwriting Panim Me'iros. On the next page, about halfway through, you have the words Ugedola Mizu Nira. Gedolim izu nirali dafilu bat kaatzma b'shefo feres v'lo nimtza dam b'rosh hamakhal da'az borer d'lav min amakar elam net stadim v'amrina dam nida ba min akar v'dam b'sulim ba min net stadim afilu hachi t'mei l'baylam da'gazwa dam b'sulim shetiyah asa l'baylam. So the Panim Me'iros is dealing with the following shayla. He's dealing with a shayla of a girl that hasn't had all the b'sulim removed, and then she does a bedika, and then she's choshesh that she pulled out dam, but it's dam b'sulim. So says the Panim Me'iros, the halacha is that it's considered dam b'sulim, she's now to aser l'baila. So the Panim Me'iros clearly holds, like the Minchas Yitzchak had assumed, that maybe Ramosha would argue that somehow a surgical process will be different, but that's hard to know what the logic of that argument would be. And the Panim Me'iros says that dam that comes out in such a case is going to be aser. So there is we must be honest, that there are a string of machmirim on this issue, but my rabbeim were mekel. Okay. By the way, this Tshuvas Panim Me'iros is also a marimakom for a hava mina that I liked, and that I tried to argue once upon a time, and I finally found that the Panim Me'iros quotes this hava mina, and he says, but no one says it. So this Tshuva is about the following thing that's very much nogea. I mentioned this before, and we had a Pisrei Tshuva that make reference to it, but now you have the Panim Me'iros, if you will, in the flesh. This Panim Me'iros has the following shaila that's mamish nogea our simon. And this happens all the time, as I described. And that is that the couple had tashmish, and let's say there is a little bit of dam basulim. So then l'chulei alma, they have to separate, as we'll discuss the details shortly. So they have to separate. But usually what happens, even if there is penetration and there's a little bit of dam, but most of the time, I said that 50% of the time there isn't penetration at all, 80% of the time, in my experience in speaking to couples, there's still going to be a remnant of besulim. And that means that subsequent bios could also have dam. Oh, so I have the following chakira. Is it that Bia Rishona is Aser, and they made a Gzeira on Bia Rishona, or every time there's Dam Besulim, it's going to be Aser? So I wanted to argue that there's no Gemara that says that every time is going to be Aser. And maybe there's room to argue that only bias mitzvah one time is going to be usur, but everything else is going to be mutter. That was my potential argument. So the Panim Iros has that argument from Kvoto Rasso. So at least he gives me Kvoto Rasso. And then he says, but there isn't a single posek, Rishon or Achron who says such a thing. And there's been no Makar ever to suggest that. And therefore the Panim Iros pushes it out of hand. And he says that in such a case, you would have to be Machmir. Rav Simon Shlita told me that in the name, I think, of Rabbi Abadi, that he held that you could still be Mekel that for a sheer kesem, that it doesn't have to be that Dam Koldu is not going to be Usser, but you would have to be Machmir for a sheer, after it's a sheer kesem. So maybe, the Panim Iros sounds like that everything is going to be Usser, but maybe there's room to be Mekel on that. Okay. So that is that fascinating shaila that begins with the tamim of why it is that it's going to be usur, and some of those tamim don't apply when it comes to being removed surgically, and some do. For example, the svara that the fellow could do it bahataya is not relevant over here. But the svara that maybe when there is bia, the dam basulim could be confused with dam nida, maybe there's room to argue such a thing. But nevertheless, Rav Moshe is mekel that the chshash was only in this particular case. And Rav Moshe throws in the svar of the eshkol that says that's dam chimut. That's going to be a problem. So without bia, then you're not going to have that chshash. Yeah?
When Panim Iros says the bidika case, is that talking about if they didn't have bia? I thought he was saying if they had bia, there was damsulim, and afterwards she didn't bika, you have to be choshu that it could still be from damsulim becoming.
Right, but it sounds like. So the Panim Iros sounds like, I saw Svarim point this out, that sounds like that even when she is removing the dam basulim, it's going to be a problem. You would read the Panim Iros that it was dislodged from the bia. And the bedika is just showing you that it was dislodged from the bia. Is that how you're saying it?
Right. The blood that you find, you have to be...
It's really blood from the bia. That's how you're looking at it. And I saw the Sefer Otzer HaLacha quotes the Panim, pulls the Panim Iros in this direction that you are. I'm going to make reference to Otzer HaLacha. You'll see what that Sefer is shortly. And I think there are already Shaltz or Chuvah's farm that pointed array to him, not just contemporary's farm. Okay, let's continue on in Shulchan Aruch. So, and let's begin to go comb through every word. Hakonis besula bol bilas mitzvah gomer biyasu parish miyad. So we pointed out that this is paskening not like the Ravid, that they have full tashmish. Afilu hiktana shelo giyas manaliros. This is the more stringent position of the Rishonim that say that you can't even be makel by a girl who her period didn't start. You might have thought that if the whole concern is that there's going to be a mixture of dam nida, you could be makel by ketan shalagiliros. Fafilu batka v'lo matza dam tmeya. And now we have another chumra, and that is that even if no dam is found, you have to be machmer shem rasa tipa dam kechardbo v'chipo hu shichvazera. We have to be afraid that the shichvazera masked it, and since it masked it, She's going to be tmeya. So that's bottom line. If the marriage is consummated in the sense that the full bia takes place, the halacha is that one would need to be machmir. However, the Ramah says v'yesh makilim lo rasa dam. He says there's some more makil if there's no dam, and that is the gos maimini in the name of ikaman damar. Which makes sense, that maybe the whole gzera is only when there is dam. You don't have to be choshesh for chipo shechazera. And the Ramah concludes, v'nagu lahakel im lo gomer bia. The minig is to be makel if bia wasn't complete, rak ha-raba. Only yet hara. What is hara? Hara means that the aver went into the vaginal area, but didn't go all the way in. And that is common because what often happens is that the hymen provides resistance. So in such a case, says Ramah, no gulakum no gama bia rakaraba for lo rasa dam. Avon bala bia mamish tsarach lefreshman afal pisha lo rasa dam. So if there was no dam, so then in such a case you could be mako, but if there was full bia, even if there wasn't dam, so then in such a case, ubal nefesh yachosh la'atzmo. Nekuda. Let's stop over there. Alpish lo rasa dam. In such a case, you don't have to be choshesh. Ramesha in a tshuva towards the back of your booklet, Ramesha in Chelik Aleph, Simin Pehe, deals with the following shaila. He says, what happens if they had hara? In other words, they did bia, where he doesn't fully penetrate the besulim, but there is a... So what's the halacha, Rabbi says? Step one, what's the halacha? So let's spell it out. So the halacha is their mutter. So often, what I said 50% of the time, 50, 60% of the time, if the chassan and kala describe such an instance, I will tell them that they could have bia again, because there wasn't penetration. In such a case, it would be mutter for them to have bia a second time. By the way, this is why, in my opinion, it's important for the chassan and kala to have the phone number of a rav after the first night. Because many, many times, Baruch Hashem, they're not familiar with sexuality. Being familiar with sexuality for from couples only comes as they're deeper and deeper into the marriage. Unfortunately, liberal groups are saying that they should be more familiar with sexuality. They should be familiar a little, as a chassan and kala needs to be sensitive to each other, but not more than a little. So it takes time. They're learning about themselves. The couple are learning how to be with each other. By the way, for that reason, those who are teachers, chassanim teachers, that one should even go through the biology with the chassan and kala in detail to make sure that they're familiar with the basics of the biology. So many, many a times, they'll be able to have tashmish again, and therefore they should have the number of somebody to be able to call. Now I have to tell you, if we're speaking frankly, I must be honest that I don't think in previous generations the chassan and kala had the phone number of somebody and they called someone 3-4 in the morning. You don't see anything of like that in the Shas of Chulis. And now it's quite common. So that's an interesting thing of development of halacha and so on and so forth. That's a fascinating thing. It gets into articles that have been written about how halacha was followed once upon a time versus how halacha is followed today and different things. And that's fascinating. But the bottom line is that even though once upon a time they might not have called somebody, I think nowadays, just be mitzius, for whatever reason, it's necessary. And therefore, it's a responsibility of the Masader Kedushin or the Chassan teacher to share that with to give them an address to be able to call. So comes along Ramesha, and Ramesha says like this. He says, what happens if there was hara, and there was dam? So what's the halacha going to be? So Rav Osla Paskin the Shaila.
No hara.
There was hara, but there was also dam.
You mean, but there was also dam?
Because often there's only dam when there's real penetration.
I mean, there was only hara.
It was only hara, and there was, and so what would the halacha be? There was only hara, and but there was also dam. What would you say? Don't even need Ramesha. What's the pashtus of the Rama? New Rabbo say?
She saw blood.
She saw blood, so she's going to be? She's going to be aser. Why? Because the Rama said, Rak hara ba v'lo rasa dam. She didn't see dam, but if she did see dam, she's going to be aser. So now Ramesha has the following shaila, but what about the next bia? So if she's aser the first time because she saw dam, but the next bia, what do you anticipate is going to happen the next bia? There's going to be more dam, right? So then she's going to be for sure, according to the Panim Meiros, except for the Hava Min of the Panim Meiros, she's going to be aser again. What happens if she has bia on the second time and there is no dam? But that's the first real bia. So Ramesha says, it's possible that even with just hara, you'll get rid of most of the dam. Ramesha is amazing. Ramesha says, as you know, in your yeshiva shalimud on Rashi Ksubas Daf Tes, Rashi over there says that it's possible to have hara to take out all the dam. Ramesha was awesome. You know, you don't think of that lamda shesugya or most of us don't remember the Rashi. I'll speak for myself. I don't remember the Rashi, even though I taught that sugya a couple times. But at the end of the day, Ramesha says it's a beferish Rashi that such a thing could exist, and therefore Ramesha says the halacha would be that she's going to be muteres in such a case. Okay. Continuing on, keseder in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch continues. Utsricha shetivsel b'tahara. Then you need a hafsek tahara. V'tivdok kol shiva. And she needs to be bodek 7 days. Notice we treat this as dam nida. V'lo tascha limnos ad yom chamisha l'shimusha. And then she has to wait. She can't count. She can't start counting right away. She has to wait 5 days. Rabbo said, why do you have to wait 5 days? Because you have the concern of pleitas shichva zera. And so with pleitas shichva zera, you're going to really have to wait 4 days. But we have an extra chshash, a normal woman, that maybe they had tashmish and bein hashmashos, as we've discussed in Kuf Tzadivav, and we have an added day. Comes along the Taz, and he makes a beautiful diuk in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch said, "Lo taskel limnos ad yom chamisha l'shimusha," which sounds like that after 4 days, she's going to be able to start her shimunikim. She doesn't need to wait 5 full days. So here we have a repeat. This Taz in Kuf Tzadi Gimel Dalet is a repeat of a Taz in Kuf Tzadi Vav, quoting the same Maharal Miprag, that the Maharal Miprag said that you could be makel, that you don't need to wait 5 days. That's the shita of the Taz. Why would you be makel? So the way I taught you last time is because it's already a gzera. That dam besulim is a gzera. The whole gzera, the Terumas Hadeshen is a gzera. A gzera, a gzera, lo gozrin. I found a brilliant lechem v'simla that adds something else. If you take a look, it's towards the back of course, lechem v'simla is Reb Shlomo Gansfried. Aryeh pointed out that in the Sharblat, you know what Sharblat is? Sharblat is the where they have Yiddish is slowly being forgotten. Sharblat is the opening part of the Sefer, where they give you a description of the Sefer, and the author tells you where the author was, a Rav or some things like that. So the Sharblat of Lechem V'Simla has all the Svarim of the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Reb Shlomo Gansfried, the author of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. What's Pnei Shlomo? That's on Nashim and Ezekin, and other Svarim of his. We used his Svarim in Bava Basra. He has a lot in Cheskas Abatim. It's a different. It's not brisk, but it's still good. I heard Rav Steinman once comment. He said, "Torah wasn't given in brisk." He himself was from brisk, but he said, "I changed over the years. I realized that there's another Torah outside of brisk." So Steinman said. So he has very nice farm. And the one sefer that's not mentioned on the Sharblat is Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. How does the world know Rav Shlomo Gansfried? They know him because who sells the books nowadays? Art Scroll sells the books. What books sell? Halacha Lemaisa and stories. That's what sells. That's what sells today. Halacha Lemaisa and stories. I told you my great story with my sefer. I was thinking of distributing it. So I was thinking of distributing my sefer. So my sefer is 80% of it is the sugyas and ksubis, and the last 20% is hilchos. I summarized the positions of Reb Shlomo Zalman and Chazon Ish, Reb Moshe, and Chacham Avadia. And then I wrote like a Biur Halacha connected to those things, wherever they spoke about. So I called a distributor up, and it was noisy in the background. So he says to me, "Oh, sounds interesting. Call me back." And then I call him back 20 minutes later. It's quiet. And he says, "It was too noisy. I didn't hear exactly what you said." He said, "Tell me what the Sefer is." So I said, "It's the first half of the Sefer is Iyun on Sugyas and Ksubas and Kedusha. And the last half is a Likud, and I mentioned the four poskim, on Yichud and Sheva Brach." He said, "Ah, okay, I'm not interested." He said, "When you called the first time," he said, "I only heard the second half. I only heard the second half. If it was just the second half," he said, "that I'd be interested in. But if it's just about Gemara Rashi Tesis, that I'm not interested in distributing. That doesn't sell." He would have wished that the Sefer be half of what it was, and then it would have sold. But it has the first half of Iyun, so then doesn't sell. Anyhow, once upon a time it wasn't this way. They didn't even advertise. Rav Shlomo Gansfried didn't even advertise his Shulchan Aruch. And his beautiful Sefer Lechem V'Simla on Hilchas Nida. So he says the following. He says like this. He says in Os Dalet, he says there are Gemaras. The Gemaras say that the Ksuba constantly needs to be amended. There's constantly, and we also have a chazal in Ksuba below Tigra, so there is already a tradition that if the couple is getting married, and in those days they would only get together in the afternoon, the idea of a Sunday morning wedding was unheard of in the time of Chazal and the Rishonim. So he says then it's for sure, if the Ksuba constantly needs to be amended, there's no way that they had Tashmish during Bein HaShemashos. He says, you're not going to have such a thing of Tashmish Bein HaShemashos. So he says, that's why they're Mekel. It's not just it's a Gzer. The whole Kshasha from Mesadeshim was that they're going to have Tashmish on Bein HaShemashos, and they're going to think it's really the day earlier. Says Lech Mesimla brilliantly, if you have to write a Ksuba, and the Ksuba constantly needs to be amended, and Shachris only in Hungary, Shachris only ends at mid-afternoon, because they would daven for 5 hours. So he says, there's no way they're having Tashmish beforehand. In the Hasidisha weddings, the weddings go through the night and through the next day. The couple only goes, maybe they go home beforehand, I don't know. I have to ask those who cover Hasidisha weddings for the newspapers. But I don't know how it works, because the Hasidisha weddings is like a day and a half. But certainly in Hungary, there was no way they were having Tashmish and Bein HaShemashos. And so Lechem Simmel assumes that that's what the Ramah, there's no way. So then in such a case, then the halacha would be that when the Taz and the Maral Miprag, not the Ramah, the Taz and Maral Miprag, in such a case, you could be Mekel. So that's a brilliant Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that there's no need to be Choshish for that. There is a fascinating Diyun that Aryeh pointed out to me. How do you read the Shach in Sifkat and Beis? The Shach says, Dima Masla Ad Yom Chamishi Kedin Nida L'Kaman. Like we have by Nida L'Kaman. So, Rabose, you tell me, is the Shach saying that you have to wait 5 full days? And that's what the Shulchan Aruch means. Ad Yom Chamishi means 5 full days, and therefore you the sixth day. Or is he endorsing the Kula, the Maral Miprag? So it's vague. It's vague. So there's a machlokis between the Pardes Rimonim and the Machtzis HaShekel. Pardes Rimonim says that the Shach is being Machmir. The Machtzis HaShekel says that he's essentially repeating the opinion of the Taz. So that's a machlokas, whether the Shach disagrees with the Taz. The Minhag HaOlam is to be like the Taz, is that we are Mekel, and one does not need to be Machmir in such a case. In terms of, a little bit more in terms of Lemaisa, so the Badei HaShulchan comments on this case of Hara. So the Badei HaShulchan in Sif Chatan Yud Tes. Let's see if we have this photocopied for ourselves. Badei HaShulchan and Sif Chatan Yud Tes. No, it's not photocopied. I'll read a few inside. The Badei HaShulchan Sif Chatan Yud Tes says as follows. He says, the kasu aposkin sha'ad shetichnis kol ha'aver. So I want to discuss in as much as we can in detail when exactly do we say that there was gmar bia. That's the topic now. What qualifies as gmar bia? So the Badei HaShulchan says the kasu aposkin da'ad shetichnis kol ha'aver hu bechlal hara af shetichnis yoser me'atara. So the definition is that the whole aver has to go in. So that's the question that we ask the chassan. The question we ask the chassan is, did the entire aver go in? Ulechein kol shebar lo shelo hichnis kol aver v'gam lo matzah dam achra tashmish eino neseris alav. So if the entire aver has gone in, then she's not going to be aser. He says, amnam hu im hu mistak b'vikidavar im bala b'gmura v'gam hi mistapek. So but what happens if they have a hard time? And that happens all the time, that the chassan and kal don't have enough experience to be able to answer that question. So nearish yesh lahachmir. So he says that you should be machmir. For lifrosh mena kol shehir gish tsar b'shas bia. He says as if they're mesupuk and she says it was painful, then you could be machmir. So Rabosa, I just want to point out, just in speaking it out with couples, it seems to me you need to differentiate between two different types of pain. There's pain of the aver pushing on the basulim, and that often the kala will just recoil because it's painful. And that's why I speak to Chassanim that they need to be very, very sensitive. So then in such a case, that's not the pain that I think that Rafael Zatzal is talking about. He's talking about that if they're mesupik, if there was full penetration, if it seems that the aver went in and she says that she had pain, but but pain would be the tearing of the basulim, so then in such a case that would be fine. But if the pain is that she's just uncomfortable, it would seem to me that it's not a gemar bia. So you need to, I think, if you take the Badei HaShulchan literally, you might end up in the wrong place. So that's what it seems to me is the psak. Okay. Mitsuyan. The Rama concludes, and the Rama says, "Ubal nefesh yochush la'atzmo shelo lischok betinokes." We skip this line in the Rama intentionally because it really doesn't have much to do with this, what's going on over here. So, what anybody have pshat? What's pasha pshat in this Rama? A bal nefesh should be choshesh for himself that he shouldn't be sochek with the tinokos. They shouldn't play around with girls. That's what the Rama is saying. But what's the omek of what the Rama is saying? So Badei HaShulchan says beautifully. This is photocopied in front of you. It's on the back page of the booklet. The Badei HaShulchan says like this. He says that we already know that there's a Gemara in Nida that says, it speaks terribly about those who are mesachkin b'tinokos. What does that mean? They are men who marry ktanos, that are not yet able to give birth. And so what are they doing? They're interested in sexual activity, but they're not interested in pru or revu. Tanakh, you have stories like this as well. So that's mesachim betinokos. Mesachim betinokos are those who are getting married for the wrong reasons. That's one of the things that you talk to bachurim, Emir Tzashem, you'll talk to young men who are thinking about marriage, that marriage is not the idea, pardon the way I describe it, but I think this is the way to say it, marriage is not about a way of having a heter of boyfriend and girlfriend, b'derech mutter. That's not what marriage is about. Marriage is about getting married to build a family. To build a family, that's all. Rabbi Willig Shlita is very, very charif on it. For this reason, Rabbi Willig will not allow, from what I understand, birth control at all. That's a very strong way of making sure that it's going to happen. My Rebbe, people think that Rebbe Willig in general is more liberal than Rebbe Braunschweig. It happens to be Rebbe Braunschweig on this topic was more liberal than Rebbe Willig. Not everything always, and you could judge things on their chitzonius. But at the end of the day, no question, Rebbe Braunschweig also in his Ashkafos was for sure very strong about this. How you execute that is a different story, this is a very, very important yisod. Back into pshat, so that's what the Gemara Nida says, that the Gemara speaks very critically on and calls them mesachkim b'tinokos, those people who get married without the goal of pru revu. So says the Rama, that's what the Rama is doing over here. The Rama says, "Bal nefesh yochush la'atzmo shelo lischok b'tinokos," that bali nefesh should not try to postpone the Gemar Bia. In other words, there are some people who are going to try to postpone the Gemar Bia so that the Kala is not going to be usher to them. That's how if you take a look at Badei HaShulchan, Sifkat and Chav Gimel. In other words, someone who postpones the Gemar Bia is like someone who's Mesachet Betinokos. That's the Omek HaDavar. Why? Because the goal is for Pru Revu. What does it mean the goal is for Pru Revu? So it happens to be that there were some who had a tradition, which seems to be scientifically false, that a woman can't become pregnant after Bia Rishona. Science today has shown that that's not true. But the term of Bias Mitzvah, Tosas and Ksubis, right in the beginning of your packet, on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, explains, why is it called Bias Mitzvah? Where's the mitzvah in the Torah to have Bia Rishona? So Tosa says as follows. He says in Bilas Mitzvah, he says, Kari lo Bilas Mitzvah, why is it called Bilas Mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah. Mishum dechsiv ki ba'alai chaysayach, v'minan ein isha koreses bris, ela misha osa osa kli. There is a phenomenon that the husband is turning his wife into a kli. By the way, that's why some understood that Bias Mitzvah is entirely different. It wasn't an act itself of pru ervu. It was the hechsher to pru ervu. In other words, the husband turns her into a kli, that pru ervu could happen. Va'yidei kach midbakba, they become attached. This will be important for the chasen shmuz. that clearly the act of Bia Rishon is there to create attachment between husband and wife. And it brings to Piriya Verivya. So now you understand what the Ramah is doing. The Ramah is saying those who are don't approach Bia Rishona that way, of creating the kli, of creating the full penetration, that leads to Piriya Verivya, that's antithetical to the Tashmish. So Rabbi Willig Shlita emphasized it this way. And Reb Ron Shpigel Zatzal emphasized it that way. Each Rebbe emphasized it maybe in a slightly different way, but the goal has to be clearly towards Piriya Verivya, and that's why the Rama over here has his harsh tone of Misachek Biti.